Hello, and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today on the Follow Me and Die podcast is episode 112, Saturday Scrawl, Three Favorite Monsters, Jerks, and the Avengers. Logan Howard of the Swordbreaker podcast issued a challenge to the RPG podcasters on Anchor to discuss our three favorite monsters. I always struggle with your top how many ever of anything list. Just getting started is a chore. And then once I get started, it's a challenge to stop. Because once I get going, the ideas start flowing, and I end up with a lot more than I needed. My struggle with such lists is that I need to find a hook on which I can focus. And I was listening to the Cockatrice Nuggets podcast, where Rich Frazier discussed his list of three favorite monsters. And while he was talking about it, I had an inspiration. I'll pick the three monsters to cover based on the iconic Dave Trampier art in the first Monster Manual. It's easy to pick from that list, but of course, the biggest trick is limiting the list to three. And so my top three David Trampier illustrated monsters from the first edition AD&D Monster Manual. Lizard Man. I love that illustration. I don't know why it speaks to me. Something about the pen and ink line art of Dave Trampier just really reaches out and grabs my imagination. And that image of a lizard man with a shield and a sword just grabs my attention. And back in the day, I always wanted to have a character that was a lizard man. And while the Dungeon Master's Guide said you could do that, trying to convince a dungeon master to let me do it never worked out, and I guess I still would kind of like to do that. That now seems to be the thing where people get to have whatever they want, and there's all kinds of rules to make it a lot easier to do that. So maybe someday. And I have ideas for how to implement variations on lizard men in my own campaign. For example, in the desert, there'll be red lizard men that live in the desert, adapted to the arid conditions. Next up is the Quaddle, the flying snake. And that catches my imagination for multiple reasons. In addition to being a cool drawing, it also was about the same time I was reading the novels by Alan Dean Foster about his character Flinx in his far future science fiction series. And he had several novels back in the mid-80s, and he even continued the series more recently that I discovered, and I picked up where I left off. I don't quite have all those novels, but I really like Alan Dean Foster. The character comes to find a flying snake. I see that image of the Quaddle in the Monster Manual, and I'm reminded of Pip, the flying snake that is the pet slash friend of Flinx. I don't want to spoil the Flinx novels for you, but they're worth a read. Alan Dean Foster. Coming up with the number one of the top three monsters illustrated by Dave Trampier, I decided on Pseudo-Dragon. Because what wizard doesn't hope that they can roll the right score to get one for a familiar? Pseudo-Dragons have some cool powers, and they're a dragon of all things, and they're friendly to those who are friendly to them. And as a familiar, the bonuses you gain are amazing. Now, of course, I don't know anybody that legitimately rolled one. However, for an NPC in my home campaign, I rolled up a magic user and I rolled that he had a pseudo-dragon familiar. I couldn't believe I did that. Of course, I would never manage to do that if it was a character I was going to play. And there are so many other awesome monster illustrations by Dave Trampier. Of course, he did the cover to the Player's Handbook, also the cover to the Monster Manual, and so many other iconic illustrations in the first Monster Manual and beyond. He also had the Wormy comic strip in Dragon Magazine, and unfortunately, he died in 2014. I'll link an article from Wikipedia about him if you want to know more. And I mentioned in the top of the episode that I'd be talking about jerks. Well, I guess I'll throw my two cents in here. there's been some discussion on various anchor podcasts about Jason Hobbs mentioning on his Random Screed podcast that someone on his Patreon for the Hobbs and Friends podcast was complaining that he was using part of that money to sponsor other Patreons. There was much discussion back and forth about that, and you can just check out many other anchor podcasts if you want to follow the discussion. Basically, most, like myself, don't really understand the person doing that. And the way I look at it, unless you want to give other people that much control over your life, it's nobody's business what you spend the money on. And if you look at somebody's Patreon page, it lists the Patreons that a given Patreon creator is backing. So if you see the various Patreons I'm backing and don't like it, you don't have to back mine. And, well, the intent is to use the money to fund my various efforts online. I have a single Patreon. I changed the name of my Patreon account from Larry Hamilton to Follow Me and Die to focus on that. For me, it was too complicated to have multiple accounts, and I made one account, and so far I haven't made enough money from my Patreon to match what I'm already pledging to various Patreons. And until that happens, I'm not really getting any further ahead, but I haven't had anybody cancel because of that. And several people in the discussion have mentioned blocking people on Patreon, asking, is it even possible? And I checked, and yes, there is a way to block people on Patreon. So if you really want to or need to, you can block someone on Patreon. That may only be a creator thing. I can't tell if there's a way to do that for people that are only using Patreon to pledge. If you're running a Patreon, you definitely can block people. So if someone's causing you trouble, you can block them so you don't have to have them spewing their nonsense all over your Patreon. The way I look at my online sites, my site, my rules, just like in my home. I'm not going to let you come into my home and talk to me a certain way. You're certainly not going to be doing that online on whatever social media I'm on. If somebody wants to complain about something, well, you can do that, but I don't have to listen. Now, if you have constructive criticism and you can deliver it in a manner that is constructive, that's one thing. But if all you know how to do is complain and whine and moan about this, that, and the other isn't the way you want it, well, you're not the only one in the world and not everybody thinks like you. That's not a lesson that we all like to learn, but we should learn that lesson. Also, I've got enough negative talk going on between my ears. I don't need more negative talk in my life. And I try to be positive and encouraging in my online efforts. Sometimes I fail and moan about how bad the weather is, but in general, I'm trying to be very positive. And I have blocked people online. On my G+ back in the fall, while G+ was still around, there were a couple people that were spewing all kinds of nonsense, and it was just everywhere in my Twitter feed, and I'd had enough, so I blocked them. And when I did that, my G+ all of a sudden was only about gaming and not nonsense. There is a place for blocking people. Some sites you can just mute them, so if you really wanted to, you could go see what they were saying, or you can block them. And if you do that, it won't show you any of their responses anywhere else on anybody else's Twitter feed or other social media. And that's great. If you've got somebody that you banged heads with and they don't want to leave you alone, you can block them and not have to deal with it. And if they want to complain about you on their page, by all means, let them do that. But they don't have to do that on your page. You don't have to let them do that. And some people have said Twitter is a cesspool. Well, that may be. And I have found that by focusing on people who are in the RPG hobby, who that's their interest either as a player or a creator or both, that they who are those who are positive, I follow and welcome. And those who are negative, whether they are some random person on Twitter or an RPG person, if they start spewing negative, hateful things about anybody for any reason you can think of to hate on somebody, including the very stupid you're not playing role-playing games the way I play them, so you're wrong concept. It's a game, people. Not everybody does everything the same. It's make-believe with dice. If people don't make-believe the way you make-believe, there's nothing wrong with that. If they don't roll the same kinds of dice you roll, there's nothing wrong with that. If they don't use dice, there's nothing wrong with that. For crying out loud, it's a game. Get a life. You can craft your online communities to be positive. And only those who are the most egregious and spew the most nonsense really need to be blocked. Because if you can't reason with them, block them. There's no need to put up with nonsense. That's my two cents. And big in the news, since it's the release weekend for Avengers Endgame, everybody's worried about spoilers. Well, I'm going to give what I call practical spoilers. And by practical spoilers, I don't mean anything at all to do with the movie or what happens in the movie, other than practical elements about the movie watching experience. First, it's a 3 hour and 1 minute movie with at least 20 minutes of previews. There are no intermissions. If you have bladder issues, you either need to plan on missing part of the movie or not drinking anything for a while before the movie so that you can sit through it. Also, there is something at the very end after the credits. Not everybody may feel it was worth waiting for it, but there is something there, even though at my theater, they came in and shouted, "There's no end scene after the credits," which was quite rude because I was enjoying the music that plays along with the credits. And I've been sitting through credits for a long time, at least since Young Sherlock Holmes. Some people always think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but that came out 6 months after Young Sherlock Holmes. So yes, both of those have end credit scenes. I don't see what the big deal is. I like listening to the music at the end credits. I like seeing who all did things. I'm glad if there are extras in either pictures or actual video in the end credits. I also enjoy seeing some of the unique names that you can see. Some of the names are quite interesting sometimes. Some of the job names and descriptions, I try to understand what those are. And I'm a cheapskate. I paid for a movie. I'm going to sit there and enjoy it. And sometimes just sitting there and having peace and quiet away from day-to-day life responsibilities is pretty nice. I guess I need to carry a sign that I can hold up that says, "Don't interrupt, I'm watching the credits." They were, more than one person was interrupting me. And I've complained at that theater before, but evidently, they're not training the new people since that last time I complained about that. This has been a ramble. But it is Saturday Scrawl, where I talk about whatever comes to mind. I will say that Avengers Endgame is awesome. I encourage you to go watch it. That's all I'm going to say about Avengers Endgame. Thank you all for listening. I hope you're having an awesome day. And game on.